You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
Having a hard time finding your favorite show on shortwave or satellite? The Christian Media Newspaper now provides program guides to all the top Christian, patriot, and alternative radio programs. Four times a year, they print an updated shortwave and satellite program guide. Christian Media is $20 per year and includes news and interviews on Christian books, video, music, and broadcasting. Subscribe now and receive a free Christian music compact disc with your paid order. To subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. Once again, to subscribe to Christian Media or receive more information, call 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. Call now.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a nonprofit community service.
You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. And it looks like we may have worn out another CD player, folks. The little mess up at the beginning. It said it was on disc 2, track 5, but it was really on disc 1, track 5. And through past experience over the last 5 years, I know that when these things start happening with a CD player, we have just about worn it out. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I've got an awful lot of stuff to give to you today, ladies and gentlemen. So make sure you have pen and paper by your side and that your mind is open and you're ready to listen. And as always, listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own research. That goes for me. That goes for the President of the United States. It goes for your mother, your teacher, your high school principal, your professor in college, your friend next door, your boss. I don't care who it is. This is the age of deception. And unless you check out the facts and find out if they're true for yourself, you're never going to know if it's true. Unfortunately, most people live their lives believing literally everything that they hear, no matter who it comes from or what it is, never check anything. And so they're living in a great lie, fantasy, deception, manipulation, whatever you want to call it. They don't know beans about anything. And if you want to know the truth, most people in this country don't know the truth about what's happening in their own hometown, much less the county or the state, and you can forget about the federal government. And They absolutely know nothing whatsoever about anything that's happening outside the borders of this country. So if you're listening in another country outside the United States of America, and we have a great number of listeners in other countries, that's probably why Americans seem a little bit nuts when they come to visit you or visit your country or your city or wherever it is that they go. They demonstrate a gross arrogance and ignorance, and yes, even stupidity. And, you know, it's not easy to say that because I'm an American, but it's absolutely true. And in my discussions with people from other countries outside the United States of America, I've got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, they think we're absolutely insane. They think that we're the biggest bunch of ignoramuses that have ever walked upon the globe. And in most cases, they're probably right. I know that doesn't make too many of you happy, but this broadcast isn't about making you happy anyway, is it?
Under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and the pledge to the ideals of our forefathers. The men who fought and died in the building of this great nation. It's a pledge to fulfill our duties and obligations as citizens of the United States and to uphold the principles of our Constitution. And last but not least, it's a pledge to maintain the fourth-rate freedom cherished by all Americans. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States.
Oh, really? Sounds wonderful, but folks, it has long ago lost touch with reality. I'm going to start off with a bang today. For all of you people out here who say there is no new world order, that there is no effort being made to bring about world government, would you take the word of the Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright? Amongst all the other statements and quotes that I've given you from the elite in government and in corporate America and in other nations on this broadcast, who all tell us that there is, listen to this. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, from the Los Angeles Times. Norman Kempster wrote this article. Norman Kempster from the Los Angeles Times. I don't have a date of the paper, but I received this, when did I receive it? Oh, here it is. 6697. This is reprinted in the St. Paul Planet Press from an article that appeared in the Los Angeles Times written by Norman Kempster. The headline is Albright logs America's role as Pathfinder, touts new world order that all nations can join. How about that? Cambridge, Massachusetts, with the academic pomp of a Harvard graduation as her backdrop, Secretary of State Madeleine Albright offered the clearest vision of the post-Cold War world yet articulated by the Clinton administration, sketching a global order open to every nation that embraces democracy. You know what democracy is, don't you? V.I. Lenin, the founder of the Soviet Union, said democracy is indispensable to socialism. And for all of you idiots out there who don't know beans about your own country, this is not, was not ever, and was never intended to be a democracy. It is a constitutional republic. Yeah, I can just see you shaking your head. Oh, really? Well, everybody I know says it's a democracy. How come Ted Koppel calls it a democracy if it's something else? How come all my friends claim it's a democracy? The President of the United States says it's a democracy. I'll tell you why. Because they know how stupid you have become, because you've been dumbed down, because you know nothing of the history of the United States of America. This is not the U.S. It's not the United States. It is the United States of America, a constitutional republic. And if you keep calling it a democracy and falling into that democracy crap, pretty soon it will be a socialist dictatorship. And that's where you're taking us with that nonsense. And that's why all of these people call it a democracy, to convince you that it is, and to eventually change it into a democracy which will deteriorate rapidly into socialism. And of course, all that is already happening. For those of you who have minds and can think original thoughts, can see two and two and put them together and come out with four, and can see and hear. She said, quote, no nation in the world need be left out of the system we are constructing, end quote. That's an admission of conspiracy. That is an admission, ladies and gentlemen, of conspiracy, which was given by the Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, who just recently disclosed that she lived all her life not knowing who she was, just recently discovered that she is Jewish. That doesn't mean anything, really. But I'm beginning to find it, me, who have stood up against everyone in this country who has called this a Jewish conspiracy. I've stood up against them and said, no, it's not. I know many Jewish people, I've known them all my life, who don't know anything about any conspiracy, and they are not trying to take over the world. Many of them are American patriots. But don't you think it's a little strange, ladies and gentlemen, that all of a sudden the top positions in our government, and I mean just about every one of them, are occupied by Jewish people who are dismantling this nation and our Constitution and taking us directly into a socialist New World Order? Well, I think it's about time we began to ask questions like this. And, of course, the first thing that will happen, instead of answering the question, someone will automatically start tossing out this term, anti-Semitic, which means shut up, don't ask questions. If you do, you're going to be destroyed. But frankly, my dear Scarlett, I don't give a damn. You get the truth on this broadcast, but that's all you're ever going to get. You see, I believe that there's several different kinds of Jewish people. I think the majority of the Jewish people are just like every other citizen in this country, are not part of any plot or conspiracy or anything else. But I believe that there is a segment of the Jewish community who are Zionists, who are, and have always been, in the process of operating with the Illuminati to bring about one world government under socialism, with the end goal in mind of a communist world. Now, when I say Zionist, ladies and gentlemen, you might be surprised to learn that there are more Christians who are Zionists than there are Jews who are Zionists. And you might also be surprised to learn that a lot of the players in this conspiracy who are destroying this country are not Jewish at all. Many of them are Catholics, or they call themselves Catholics. They really don't believe in God at all. Protestants. Many of them will tell you flat out they're agnostics, they're atheists. Many of them belong to the New Age religion, which is man is God, humanism, secular humanism. But I find it very strange that at the worst time in the history of this country, when we are being dismantled from within, destroyed from within, most of the offices in government that are doing this dismantling and destroying this nation are Jewish. And somebody had better start doing some explaining. Recently, I read an article on this broadcast that was printed in the Jewish press in Israel, and I gave you the name and the date of that newspaper, and it was reprinted in the New York Times, and I read that article from the New York Times verbatim, which is a reprint from the article that I had read from the paper in Israel verbatim, which was calling to task the Jewish leadership for some of the terrible things that they had done, and was bragging at the same time that the White House and Congress and the government of the United States was in Jewish hands. In fact, the name of the article was In Our Hands. And if you'd like to order the tape, I forget the date that we did the broadcast and read the articles, but the name of the tape is In Our Hands. So you don't really need the date. You can order it. And it's $10. Make your check or money order payable to the Harvest Trust and send it to the Harvest Trust. P.O. Box 1970, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. Now, I've studied what's happening for years, ladies and gentlemen, probably more than anybody alive, and I've dug up more about the identity and the religion and the purpose of the culprits than probably anybody ever has. I'm the first one who ever uncovered the bilge in the great trash bin called the mystery schools, the fraternal organizations, turn it out and expose it to the light of day. No one else in the history of the world has ever been able to do that. I did it on this broadcast. And I'm going to tell you once again, my research tells me that this is not a Jewish conspiracy, never has been, and cannot be. But Zionism is a big part of it, a big part of it, ladies and gentlemen. As at the root, and I have disclosed this on many occasions in their own words, at the root of the mysteries is the belief that these people, the Illuminati, the elect, the elite, those operating behind the veil of secrecy, the thousand points of light, who are bringing about this world totalitarian socialist government, the belief that they are the master race, superior to everyone else, and the only ones with the divine right to rule. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus Christ or anything else. They are secular humanists. They believe that man is God. They're resurrecting the old mystery religion of Babylon. Those of you who believe in prophecy in the book of Revelations will play ball with that forever, probably. But I wouldn't get into that trap if I were you, because one of their goals is to convince you that it is the hand of God bringing all of this about, so that you will fall into the trap of prophecy, which is apathy, inaction, passivity, because, as you will say to me and have done on many occasions, quote, I cannot oppose what is happening because it is being brought about by the hand of God, end quote. And I tell you, you have been deceived. This is the age of deception. They want you to believe that. They want everybody whom they can convince of that to fall into that inaction, apathy, and passivity, so that there will be no opposition to the terrible destruction and enslavement that will follow. Do you really believe that all things are fated to happen from the beginning? I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that if you do, you are farther into deception than you've ever dreamed. Because without the principle of free will choice, it's all a big joke. If you were fated in the beginning to be evil, or to be killed, or to be sacrificed, or to be whatever it is that you think you were fated to be, why do you even get up in the morning and try to be anything else? Why do you strive to be good? Because if it was fated in the beginning that you're going to be good, you don't have to do anything. You're just going to be good. Why do we try to change criminals to make them better? Because if it was fated from the beginning that they're going to be criminals, there's nothing you can do to stop the evil that they're going to spread and that they're going to do, because it was decided before they were even born, before the human race was even created. I'm telling you now, that's a deception, and you'd better get out of it. I believe in God, and I believe God gave us a free will choice, and I believe that's the whole purpose why we're here, to make a choice for good, for evil, for bad, for better, for indifferent, for nothing, for greatness, for obscurity, whatever. But it's to make a choice. I don't believe for one moment that the God that I know is going to smile upon anyone who does nothing in the face of evil, except allow evil to prevail. I believe the God that I know will slap you down if you don't stand up in the face of evil and combat it with everything that you have. And I believe that those who are standing back saying, I am not going to resist this, for it was foreordained, it is written that there must be this new world government and the beast is going to reign. And besides, I don't have to worry. I'm going to be raptured. Not on your life. Not on your life. Don't even for one moment think that anybody who professes those beliefs in the face of evil is going to be raptured, or that any gates are going to open for them, or God is going to smile upon them, or they're going to be saved, or anything like that, because it's not going to happen. Listen to this article here. No nation in the world need be left out of the system we are constructing. An admission of conspiracy that many people have been telling me does not exist for many years. And if you want to know the truth, if the definition of conspiracy is that it's being conducted in secret, then it doesn't exist, because it's all out in the open. Anyone who wants to look will find it. They depend upon you not to look. And for the most part, most people never, ever, ever in their life look for any segment of truth or factual reality whatsoever. Albright said, speaking from the same stage on the steps of Memorial Church that George C. Marshall used as Secretary of State to launch the reconstruction of Europe 50 years ago to the day. In essence, this is right out of the article, ladies and gentlemen, printed in the Los Angeles Times. In essence, Albright described a new world order of nations made in the image of the United States. Her audience of Harvard alumni, including a contingent from the class of 1947 that heard Marshall's address, applauded the unabashedly, quote, patriotic tone, end quote. They actually called this a patriotic tone. You see how this propaganda works? It may be made in the image of the United States once they have finished destroying the United States and turning it into a socialist entity. But not until. Because if they're going to make this in the image of the United States, they don't even know yet what it is, because the United States is in the process of being destroyed. Listen to what she said. Quote, since George Marshall's time, the United States has played the leading role within the international system, not as the sole arbiter of right and wrong, for that is a responsibility widely shared, but as pathfinder, the nation able to show the way when others cannot, Albright said. In that context, she renewed her demand to have Balkan war criminals brought to justice. Although there is nothing new in a Secretary of State endorsing the work of the International War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague, the prominence Albright gave the issue could set the stage for a showdown between the Secretary of State and the Pentagon, which is reluctant to commit United States troops to track down indicted war criminals. Albright supplied few details of how the United States would carry out its role in the coming century, but her vision clearly is of restored U.S. global leadership. Although she acknowledged not every nation is yet willing to play its full part in this system, she noted that the world today has no despot like Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin, who at the time of the Marshall Plan prevented the countries of Eastern Europe from participating in the U.S.-funded reconstruction effort. Today, the opportunity to be part of an international system based on democratic principles is available to all. Anytime you hear the word democratic or democrat, ladies and gentlemen, translate it as socialist, because that's the true meaning of it. So those of you who have always been saying there's no new world order, there's no conspiracy, well, go argue with Madeleine Albright, Secretary of State, because she says there is. Here is a bill, H.R. 27, IH-1S, 105th Congress, 1st Session, H.R. 27. Now listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Would you agree upon that? At least it's supposed to be, even though it's not in effect and not being applied and was thrown into the trash a long time. It's supposed to be the supreme law of the land, isn't it? Well, how come the 105th Congress doesn't know that? They've introduced a bill, H.R. 27, by Mr. Bartlett of Maryland, Mr. Barton of Texas, Mr. Solomon, Mr. Coble, Mr. Callahan, Mr. Cunningham, Mr. Calvert, Mr. Barcia, Mr. Young of Alaska, Mr. Doolittle, Mr. Stump, Mr. Collins, Mrs. Chenoweth, Mr. Coburn, Mr. Condit, Mr. Burton of Indiana, Mr. Holden, Mr. Skeen, Mr. Crane, and Mr. Hall of Texas introduced the following bill, which was referred to the Committee on the Judiciary. Listen to the title of this bill. Quote, H.R. 27, to protect the right to obtain firearms for security and to use firearms in defense of self, family, or home, and to provide for the enforcement of such right, end quote. Can you believe that? Can you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? How is this going to change anything if they don't pay any attention to the Constitution for the United States of America, which says a militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, if they don't pay any attention to that, what makes these people think they're going to pay any attention to this? It's like Senator Charles Duke and his 10th Amendment resolution that everybody was wasting their time and their money on. Going around to the different states, having these big campaigns to get the 10th Amendment resolution passed, begging Congress to pay attention to the 10th Amendment. Begging the government through resolution to Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and they don't pay any attention to it. A resolution or a law like this is meaningless. Now I see patriots forming committees and getting their organizations all geared up to make sure that this bill passes Congress. Are you nuts? Have you all lost your minds? Why should they pay attention to H.R. 27 when they will not pay attention to the second article of the Bill of Rights to the Constitution for the United States of America, which is supposed to be the government? To protect the right to obtain firearms for security, that's the purpose of a militia, is the security of the people against an oppressive government. A militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I'm not reading that. I memorized the entire Constitution and Bill of Rights many, many years ago. And to use firearms in defense of self, family, or home, and to provide for the enforcement of such right. Ha, ha, ha. Big joke. Big joke. How in the world is that going to happen when the militia is under attack? The militia is under attack. The militia, which is required by the law. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. And I've read you the law on this broadcast many times. You see, the militia is lawful. The militia exists in the traditions and history of this country and is recognized by the Constitution for the United States of America as a pre-existing force to the Constitution. It doesn't give Congress the power to create the militia. It gives Congress the power to call forth the militia as a recognized, pre-existing, and superior force to the Constitution, to the government. And Congress can only call forth the militia for three things: to suppress insurrection, repel invasion, and execute the laws of the Union. The Constitution for the United States of America is the supreme law of the Union. The militia exists as the people, and every state has provision for a militia. Not every state defines the militia. Most do. By law, the unorganized militia for the United States of America is every able-bodied male between the ages of 17 and 45 years. And for everyone who has been honorably discharged or retired from any of the military forces of the United States of America until age 60, it's either 64 or 65. Title 10, United States Code, and Title 32, United States Code. Look it up yourself, folks. And if you're too lazy to do that, you can buy the past tapes that we've made on this broadcast where I read you all of the law verbatim right here on the Hour of the Time. Every bit of it.
thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my father died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. My native country be land of the noble free, thy name my love, I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that above.
The music swells. And ring from all the trees, sweet freedom song.
Let mortal tongues awake, let all that grief partake, let rocks their silence break. The sound of God. Our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing.
That'd be nice. But you see, I think we're going to have to do it ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. And if we demonstrate enough zeal and enough goodness in our doing of it, we may get some help from God. Maybe. If I sound a little angry today, it's because I am, ladies and gentlemen. I look around me and I see nothing but idiots running around like ants. Like ants. Trying to make an ant hill and create a colony in the middle of a construction zone. With bulldozers and road graders and all those things whizzing around and flattening their little ant hill, and then they start all over again. You see, I've been watching what happens, and most of you just keep forgetting from day to day. And that's probably why commercials are 30 seconds long. It's about the average attention span of the average American. Remember when they had the oil shortage, and the price of gasoline went up? And then all of a sudden, the price of everything went up, and they said it was because gasoline went up? Because there was an oil shortage? Remember that? Remember that, ladies and gentlemen? And that's when the wife then had to go to work. Couldn't stay home with the children. And the children had to be put into government-controlled daycare centers that then began to teach the children how to get along in the New World Order. Remember that? How many of you remember that not long after that, it was disclosed that there was actually no oil shortage at all? And how many of you have ever known in your life that inflation, ladies and gentlemen, is not caused by the price of oil or the price of anything else? It's caused by making available more money than the gross national product needs. It's by pumping a lot of money into the system that is superfluous, by making credit easily obtained and readily available to anybody who wants to come along and get some, by printing paper, worthless paper, and flooding the country with it. How many of you have been spouting the rhetoric that Ronald Reagan is the greatest president that ever came along, and it was just a wonderful period of prosperity, and everybody profited and did well during that time? How many of you have done all that, have been truthful with yourselves, and understand that it was Ronald Reagan putting the country into more debt than the combined presidencies of every president and every administration in the history of this country all lumped together? It was Reagan who created the higher prices. It was Reagan who put us into the unbelievable debt that we find ourselves today that can never be repaid. Never in a million billion years can it be repaid, because it is accumulating interest faster than anybody can accumulate any principal to pay off this debt. And it keeps getting higher and higher every year. And balancing the budget won't do anything except prevent new debt to be put on top of it. But you're not going to pay off the old debt. You can't pay off the interest. How many of you understood that? It was the tremendous creation of debt during the Reagan presidency that destroyed the economy of this country. You look around and say the economy is great. Oh, the economy is great. I heard on the news the other day, the economy is great. Get better all the time. Oh, really? Really? Oh, my goodness. I can remember when my father made $10,000 a year, supported a family of five well, and my mother never had to work. She reared us children, and we didn't have to work if we didn't want to. We did, because we wanted some spending money. My dad was one of those guys that said, I'm not going to give you money. Go out and earn it. I mowed lawns and did anything I could to make my spending money. But it didn't go to support the family. It went for me. The economy is not getting good, ladies and gentlemen. It's getting worse and worse and worse every year. There used to be a time when every single family in this country could demonstrate to you by producing some document or other from some savings account or something that they had at least $10,000 saved, and for many families, it was a lot more than that. $15,000, $25,000, $30,000 in the bank. Most of you listening to this broadcast have absolutely nothing in the bank, nothing saved. You live from paycheck to paycheck. And you're so in hock up to your ears in debt that if you were to sell everything that you own, you would be lucky if you had $2,500 left. Most would have nothing. In fact, most would still owe. So don't tell me the economy's getting better. Unless you're in the high income bracket, every available member of the family has to do some kind of productive work just to make ends meet today. And it's going to get worse. And for those of you who have it kind of good, or at least think you do, think you're building up something for the future, socialism does not allow that. When they finish with this country, ladies and gentlemen, there will be no such thing as the ownership of property. There will be no middle class. And all you people sitting back smirking, thinking that you've got it made, are going to lose it all, because in socialism, there's only one class of people. Actually, two. The socialists won't admit it. There's the rulers and the ruled, and the ruled are the majority of the people. So many of you are chasing your tail. Remember when I did the broadcast about Pat Robertson? And I told you that he owned a diamond mine in Zaire, and that all of his appeals on television for the humanitarian effort of flying airplanes into Zaire to help those poor people was just a scam to get your money to pay for his diamond mining business and the airplanes to fly his equipment in and out of there. Boy, you should have seen the hate mail I got from so-called Christians who aren't supposed to write such things. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here's from the Daily News, Los Angeles, page 9, April the 28th, 1997. Listen to this. You all called me a liar. You said I was crazy. Pat Robertson's a good fellow, would never do anything like that. Well, he's not a good feller, and he did do things like that. Pilots say ministry did mining business. Virginia Beach, Virginia airplanes sent to Zaire by evangelist Pat Robertson's tax-exempt humanitarian organization were used almost exclusively for his diamond mining business, say two pilots who flew them. Three airplanes were flown to Zaire in September 1994 by Operation Blessing. However, Chief Pilot Robert Hinkle said only one or two of the roughly 40 flights during his 6 months in the country could be considered humanitarian. All the rest of the flights were mining-related, he told the Norfolk, Virginia pilot. Robertson's spokesman first denied the accounts by Hinkle and a co-pilot, Tahir Brohi of England. Later, Gene Capp, Vice President for Public Relations at Robertson's Christian Broadcasting Network, said the planes turned out to be unsuitable for medical relief, and that Robertson reimbursed Operation Blessing for their use. And that also is a lie. And remember, we broke the story here on the Hour of the Time, as we always do. Everything that you always hear later as being big news, you always heard on the Hour of the Time first, always, without exception. It has never failed. Justices refuse to expand police powers in drug raids. They won't give the police more powers. They don't need any. They're already breaking down doors without warrants. They're already tearing up homes, seizing property, destroying lives, and then never even pressing charges. You think you get any of it back? No. But buried in this story is something you need to know. They ruled, Supreme Court ruled, in the case of excessive force, the justices overturned a lower court decision that required an Oklahoma county to pay $818,000 in damages to a woman who was severely injured by a sheriff's deputy in 1991. The deputy had been hired despite having a criminal misdemeanor record. The decision made it difficult to hold cities, counties, and school districts liable for damages under federal law for single isolated decisions of public officials. As, for example, when a carelessly hired or trained police officer breaks into someone's home, or when a teacher accused of sexual harassment is transferred and becomes the target of a similar charge in another school. Touch my daughter, and there won't be any need for any federal anything. Here's an article that says TWA missile may have been burning jet fuel. See, all this time they've been saying that nothing went up and hit that plane. They've been saying that there was no missile. But you see, there's so many witnesses that now they have to do something about it. Now they're saying it was a stream of burning jet fuel. Well, if burning jet fuel from the airplane fell to Earth, all the witnesses would have seen a missile going from TWA Flight 800 to the ground. But that's not what they saw. They saw a missile shoot up from the water and hit that plane, and then the plane exploded, ladies and gentlemen. This is an attempt to further confuse the issue and cover up the fact that TWA Flight 800 was downed by a missile. Who fired it? I don't know. Bobo Gritz claims it was the United States government. And I'm going to tell you right now, Bobo Gritz has been proven to be a liar so many times in the past, it's pathetic, and if you believe anything he says, you're setting yourself up for a hard fall. The truth is, there is no evidence whatsoever of any kind, not even circumstantial, that any military branch of any of the military branches of the United States of America fired any missile that night or was responsible either on purpose or accidental for the downing of TWA Flight 800. There is no evidence at all, ladies and gentlemen, period. And I'm going to have to tell you something right now. I was in the military for many years. I was in the United States Air Force and then the United States Navy. I know those people. And there is no way in the world that if that had happened, it could have been covered up. Because by and large, most military personnel are freedom-loving, patriotic, honest, dedicated, and good people. And that's the truth about that. How many of you know that on April 21st, the Clinton administration published in the Federal Register an executive order on environmental hazards and children? And at the very end of that order, there was a single line that nobody noticed, that repealed a previous executive order by the number of the executive order. Nobody looked it up, so they didn't even know what got repealed. And this environmental executive order on environmental hazards and children sounds real nice, so nobody thought there could be any bad thing hidden in there, but there always is. The repealed order had nothing to do with the environment, ladies and gentlemen, or children for that matter, except on the effect that it will have on children, ultimately. What was repealed was an executive order issued by President Ronald Reagan. That order required the federal government to consider what impact it had on the American family when it passed new rules or regulations and had blocked some of the worst schemes of government bureaucrats for the past 10 years. Under the Reagan executive order, the federal government had to answer the following 7 questions. 1. Does this action by government strengthen or erode the stability of the family and particularly the marital commitment? 2. Does this action strengthen or erode the authority and rights of parents in the education, nurture, and supervision of their children? 3. Does this action help the family perform its functions, or does it substitute governmental activity for the function? 4. Does this action by government increase or decrease family earnings? Do the proposed benefits of this action justify the impact on the family budget? 5. Can this activity be carried out by a lower level of government or by the family itself? And 6. What message, intended or otherwise, does this program send to the public concerning the status of the family? And 7. What message does it send to young people concerning the relationship between their behavior, their personal responsibility, and the norms of our society? Why would President Clinton repeal an executive order like that? Well, it's simple, folks. He's a socialist. In fact, he's a hardcore communist, if you want to know the truth. He wants to destroy the family. He wants the children educated, reared by the state, completely out of the hands of the parents. And he must destroy the family budget because the middle class cannot be allowed to exist in a socialist system. That's why. That's exactly why. And if you don't believe it, you just keep your eyes on the future. Every day it comes clearer and clearer and clearer for those who are really watching. Of course, most of you aren't, and probably never will. But I am, and I'll keep telling you about it until you get off your lazy butts and help me do something about it. And yes, I'm angry. I'm watching, healthy, supposedly intelligent Americans not only stand by passively while this country and the Constitution is being destroyed around us, but are actually engaging in activities that are helping this come to pass, thinking all the while that everything's going to be okay. Just like the Jews and Gypsies and Christians and Poles in Europe did during the 30s. as the savior of Germany, rose to power. Study that history, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find that the same things that happened in Germany then are happening in the United States of America today, including the rise of the New Age movement, which was the New Age movement then as well. Nothing new about it. Same old blathering BS. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
Don't you believe it, folks. Watch them. They'll take it away. They'll take it all away. They'll take the flag away. And they'll give you a regional flag under a world government. Wake up, America. You've been had.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Michigan, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where the pride in every American.
This is the Voice of Freedom. Listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, Eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
We now return you to our regularly scheduled broadcasting, all oldies, most of the time, only on 101.1 FM, Eager. Classic radio, like you always wished it could be.